need to be dismissed for Children's Church. Is there two gathering places?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm wary of stopping the little one. She's potty trained. So she's running in that direction. I think it's to keep herself from...
It's okay. It's okay. Love them.
You have a laser pointer now, too.
I'll be using that today. Thank you.
Just in case you need to make some cats come around.
Well, you'll see what happens. Well, good evening. It's... very nice to be with you all again. The very last time I was with you, we were at the tail end of Matthew 14, beginning of Matthew 15, and Steve had a full beard. Very different change from... And at my church in Bly, we're very slowly going through the entire book of Matthew, very slowly. And as we go through, we kind of hit segments that I compile into kind of like a multi-week series. So right now we're in the midst of one of those series, and it's like a 5-week series on how to be and stay ready. Because I'm only going to be with you for 2 out of those 5 weeks, I've decided to give you a 7-hour sermon. So I hope you're comfortable. Kidding. I'm actually just taking my notes on those 5 weeks and preparing 2 messages, whereas at my church they'll get 5. So I'm going to give you like the best, and they'll get kind of like the filler. I told them the same thing except opposite. So I hope you'll be blessed by the messages, and I hope you'll not only grow but learn how to better make yourself ready. And we'll get into what that ready means, because what do I mean by being ready? We're going to dig in and we're going to find out. So your scripture today, we're going to actually start 4 verses earlier. We're going to first take a look at Matthew 16, 1-4. And I think...
Page down.
Let's see if it works today. There we go. Oh, nope. No, that's where I'm starting. There we go. I'll move up here in a minute. Matthew 16, 1-4. And it says, "And the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, 'When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah.' So he left them and departed. Several years ago, I had the pleasure of speaking with a weather technician with NOAA, and NOAA meaning the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. And I asked him a question. I asked, 'How is it that different weathermen come up with different weather forecasts? Do they go off of different weather satellites? What goes on?' And he said, No, they all use the exact same satellites, at least in the United States. But each meteorologist will use their training, their experience, and their lifetime of knowledge to interpret what the satellites show them. So here is what they would see. Laser pointer. So this is what a weatherman might do, is he'd look at this and he'd say, well, look at this purple glob. This purple glob means absolutely nothing because you don't normally see it on the weather forecast. But this green stuff means rain. And this yellow stuff up here, as you can see over here, means a lot of rain. You see this white? That means there's a torrential storm along the border of every single state. So do not cross the border. Anyone can do it. See? You don't need to go to meteorologist school. You can just read the bar and make the weather forecast. But then the Noah guy, he gave me some information which he called top secret classified information that no one on the planet knows, understands, and he swore me to secrecy. I'm going to tell you anyway. He leaned in really close and he told me the secret to completely understanding the weather and how it works. He whispered nice and soft so only I could hear him, and he said, no matter what the satellites show, no matter what the radar's doing or saying, the weather does what it wants to do. We can make guesses, and sometimes we're right, but in his words with the weather, there is no one out there that can truly predict the weather. I know I've looked at my weather app sometimes and it says, it is currently raining in Bly, and I'm looking outside and I'm like, I don't even see clouds. What's up with that? So we make guesses, but we can't really predict. So Jesus was not going to show them what they thought the Messiah would be. They thought the Messiah was there to save the Jewish people from the Romans. And look at Jesus' audience here at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Just to give you a quick breakdown, a modern day breakdown that maybe only a few of us will understand. And if you don't get it, ask Joe, I think he'll get it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees teaming up is like having Star Trek fans and Star Wars fans having lunch together. See, he gets it. It's not a common occurrence. It's not a good mix. Because the Pharisees would love to see the Messiah come and save the Jews from the Romans. The Pharisees thought there was much more to the world than just this life, and they wanted to be God's people again. In fact, compared to the Sadducees, the Pharisees are the good guys. We look at the gospel accounts and we see the Pharisees beaten on Jesus a lot, but of the two, they're the more likely ones to come to Jesus. They're the more likely to believe him. The Sadducees are, on the other hand, they like God okay, but they like power and wealth more. In fact, if the Messiah did come to take out the Romans, the Sadducees would have been the first to go. They would have lost their wealth and their power. They liked the Romans in charge. But the big problem is, Jesus didn't really fit into either of their molds. He was not a warrior like David coming to take out the Romans, nor was he compliant with what the Romans were doing like the Sadducees were. So neither group liked Jesus, and were looking for a way to get the people to turn against him. They asked for a sign of anything to prove that he was who he said he was. But to get Jesus to say or do something that they could say was wrong. That's what they wanted to do. They were trying to trap him, trying to get him to contradict himself or say something that was blasphemous. And in their minds, Jesus often did, because when he said, hey, I'm God, they were like, oh, that's blasphemy. Except it wasn't, because he is. But like the weather, you can't always predict what Jesus is going to do. Jesus tells them that he won't show them the sign except the sign of Jonah. That scripture back up there. Three quick things to know about Jonah and Jesus. Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a great fish. Jesus spent 3 days in the ground. Jonah was sent to call others to salvation. Jesus came to call people to salvation. Jonah was a Jew sent to preach to Gentiles. Jesus trained Jews to go and preach to Gentiles. So those are pretty interesting things to have in common in regards to the sign of Jonah. Three things Jonah did, three things Jesus did. Needless to say, Jesus did fulfill the sign of Jonah perfectly. And we can learn that we can't put our God in a box and expect him to conform to how we think of him. We must conform who we are to who he wants us to be. And he wants us to be ready. Ready for what? Ready for his second coming. Ready to defend our faith. Ready for him to be in the world. So how do we do that? Well, let's take a look at our main passage for the day, Matthew 16, 5 to 12. And that reads, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing amongst themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. I kind of sometimes wonder how the disciples managed to lace their sandals in the morning. Because they never seem to do anything right. They ask questions that make me think, and Jesus chose that guy? Really? But we can't be too hard on the disciples, or Jesus for that matter. Because Jesus does what he wants to do. Kind of like the weather does. But he also knows what's best for us, unlike the weather. The disciples didn't always get it because they were learning. And while you learn, you make mistakes. And you learn from your mistakes and hopefully don't do them again. Like forgetting bread when you're going on a long journey. Who here has gone on a long road trip and remembered 200 miles in that they forgot to pack? That's kind of what they did. We forgot bread. But instead of scolding his forgetful disciples, he uses this as a teaching moment. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus says these words and the disciples are like, how did he know we forgot bread? Peter, did you blab on us again? We know you're the teacher's pet. You're always telling on us. I mention this because very soon we're going to see Peter be scolded pretty intensely by Jesus. Jesus here is taking this as a teaching moment. Next week, Jesus is going to be really tearing Peter down. Because you see, we often think of earthly things, whereas Jesus is constantly thinking of heavenly things. He was getting his disciples ready for the next world. And to do that, he had to make them ready in this one. So he focuses on the most popular teachers of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, I could spend a great deal of time telling you about all the religious teachings of the day and how bad the teachings were and how poisonous they were to people who watched and listened. You can make sermons all about the Pharisees and all about the Sadducees. But we're going to sum it up here. In speaking specifically about the Pharisees, but in 2 verses from Matthew 23. And it says, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. This is a seat of authority. It's kind of like they're at the pulpit. When someone speaks from the pulpit, you're supposed to pay attention and listen and sure hope that they're doing and saying the right things. And so Jesus is saying the Pharisees and the scribes sit at Moses' seat. They're in a place of authority. Do and observe whatever they tell you. He says they're teaching the right thing, but not the works they do. For they preach but do not practice. Jesus says the things they teach are good and right, but the people teaching are not good and right. Today is Father's Day. And while I may not have sat through as many Father's Day messages as some of you, I do remember more than 1 year that it went by like this. We hit Mother's Day. Mother's Day begins, and there's a beautiful and wonderful sermon about how mothers are perfect and great, and we need to thank our moms all day, every day, for all they've done. They get flowers, and they get a big present, and it's all wonderful, and all that should happen. It's very true. Don't think I'm bashing Mother's Day. It's an awesome day. I was here for Mother's Day. It was great. But then you get to Father's Day. And if the pastor even speaks about fathers on Father's Day, it's usually how dad needs to step up more and how much they mess up and how they need to be better. I've sat through a few sermons like that. And I got mad because it made me think that all dads were bad and not needed in the kid's life because all they did was mess kids up. Thank you for the chocolate, by the way. I'm going to love that. Presents on Father's Day. That's great. So yay dads. We're talking about yay dads today because I'm going to tell you this. If you walk into a prison system today and ask the people there how many are there because their dads shaped them to be bad, you will get this instead. You will get 75 to 85% of men in prison today growing up without a father. They did not have a dad in their lives at all. That's how important dads are. 75 to 85% of people in prison grew up in fatherless homes. Do dads mess up? Yes. A lot? You bet. Do we fail our kids? All the time. But one thing I can say for this dad right here, and hopefully all the dads here in the room, I'm present with my kids. I hope you are too. No matter how many times I mess up, I am present with my kids. My dad, for example, never won a Father of the Year award. I was the second child of my dad's third marriage and the sixth known child of all the children he had. The only thing he absolutely knew for sure on the number of kids is I was the last one. He lost his first four kids because of life choices. They're still living. Three of four of them live in California. But he wasn't going to make the same mistake that he made with his four kids with my sister and I. So instead of losing us, he fought for us. And growing up, he was present. I'll be honest, he wasn't much more than present, but he was there. He showed up to baseball games. He showed up to school events. He showed up. He was present. And he taught me things. But like our passage today, he was giving me a lesson to be cautious of. My dad was very much a do what I say and not what I do kind of dad. Who has ever heard that said to a kid? Do what I say, but not what I do. That was my dad. But the thing I loved about him most is he knew that enough to tell me that. I miss my dad a lot. He passed away in 2005. He was a funny guy. He was goofy and honest, hence the sense of humor. But he was a bunch of other bad things too. But if not for him, I would not be the man I am today. It was what my dad fed into my life that helped make me who I am. Good and bad. I will say I'm not a follower of Jesus Christ because of my dad. That's a sad part of my life. I wish I were, because then I maybe would have known Jesus before I was 17. That's when I came to know Jesus. There's a lot of faults in my life that maybe could have been prevented if he had fed something different. Not to blame my dad for my life choices, but there's a little nature-nurture going on. So, I talked about we need to be ready. Our be ready point of the day, I'm going to say be ready for what teaching you are going to receive. Be ready for the things that you hear. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were not doing the right things. They were not teaching the right things, and they were expecting people to follow and listen the way they were living. And sure, the Pharisees had it better than the Sadducees, but even then it wasn't good enough. because they thought you could be good enough. They thought if they did almost everything right, they would be good enough. And that is how they lived. They thought the bad things they could do would be excused because the good things were more than the bad things. I talked to someone last week in Bly who was talking about a member of their family who lived nearby. They said their sibling was a good Christian. And I wanted to ask them a question. They were getting a ride, so I didn't get the chance to go over anything with them. But I wanted to ask them a question because I knew the sibling they were talking about. I've never seen them do anything that would make me think that they are ready. Now, I will say this. What you do, your works, don't save you. But what I will say is what you do will affect the people in your life, and that includes people who aren't saved. So if I was a non-Christian and was pointed to this person who was labeled as a good Christian, and I saw that they didn't go to church, I saw that they didn't ever talk about Jesus, I didn't ever see them talk to me about the Bible and what God's doing in their lives, and if I spent time with that person and found that all they ever said on the subject was, well, I believe in God, so I'm good, right? That leaven, that teaching into my life is really bad. On the other hand, if someone from a congregation, someone who is a follower of Jesus, comes into my life and shows me my sin, shows me my brokenness, shows me the God of the Bible and how I can be forgiven, I'm going to respond to that teaching differently. I'm going to respond to that leaven differently. You are leaven in people's lives, whether you know it or not. And I'll be honest, I'm not always the best leaven. Sometimes I speak too little into people's lives. Sometimes I speak too much. But it's my prayer to speak just right, to see that growth in someone else that Jesus has given me. So as we close in prayer today, I want us to pray to hear what God wants of us and to be ready. And there's this prayer. I'm going to put it up on the board. Oh, I'm hitting the wrong one. There we go. It's a simple little sentence. Those who know me well know I'm not much for scripted prayers. This is one I learned a couple years ago. This is a life-changing prayer. And I challenge you to pray it with me if you so desire when I pray it. Be aware not to say it unless you're serious about it, because this is a very serious prayer, because sometimes if you say it and not mean it, God may answer it anyway. And I'm going to read it to you, but then as I pray, I'll say it. And if you want to, if you desire to, if this is something you want in your life, feel free to say it with me as when I pray it. And I'll just read it to you first. God, do in me all that you need to do, so that you can do through me all that you want to do. That want and need are in there specifically. God does not need us. He wants us. But we need him. So we ask him to do all that he needs to do in us, so that he can do through us all that he wants to do. It's a very serious prayer. And I hope we can say it together today. So I hope you understand and pray in faith the words that I pray with you today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message. And we thank you for the people in Jesus' life as he was speaking these words. The people in his life remembered these words well enough to share them decades later in Matthew's gospel. And we are thankful that they, while not ready at the time, became ready. That you worked in their lives. And we thank you for them, that they shared what they knew, that we can learn from them as well today. And Lord, we want to be ready. We want to be ready in this world today to share our faith. We want to be ready for your second coming. We want to be ready for whatever you have for us. So Lord, today, we say these words in prayer. God, do in me all that you need to do so that you can do through me all that you want to do. And we pray this in your wonderful and holy, awesome name, Lord Jesus. Amen.